Episode number 196.
Hello, hello. You're listening to the Career Changemaker podcast. Having the courage to leave a career that you have worked hard to build and try something else can be tough. So in each episode, we dive into key career change strategies so that you have a clear understanding of what is required to transition into a new role or a new industry without feeling like you have to start at the bottom or have to take a massive pay cut. Because hashtag ain't nobody got time for that. If you are ready for frank and honest discussions about how to become a career change maker, keep listening. I'm your host, lawyer turned career strategist and executive coach, Janine Esbrand. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. If you have wondered what companies are really looking for in candidates nowadays, then you are going to want to lean into this episode. I am interviewing an amazing guest who has sat on both sides of the table. She has worked directly with candidates and also supported lots of companies with filling their talent pipelines. And she's going to be dropping some gems for us today as it pertains to talent development and making transitions in your career. So without further ado, let's lean in to my conversation with Elena. Hi, Elena. I am so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Let's kick off by you just introducing yourself and letting everybody know a bit about you and your background.
Sure. So I always say long story short and end up telling the long story. So I'm going to try to keep it short. I've started my career in higher education and learning. And a few years into that, I decided that it's a little bit too slow and a little bit too, boring for me, so to say. No offense to my higher education folks. And then I decided to kind of shift towards corporate learning. I said, okay, I really need something that's more result driven, something that has that like metrics to it. And so I decided naturally that, you know, working with younger generations of traditional students moving towards adult learners in the corporate world. So I've kind of made that shift into learning and development. Mm-hmm. And then in 2019, when I was still based in Dubai, UAE, I co-founded a company with a business partner of mine, Yvonne, and it's called Bestern. And we focus on performance and well-being in organizations. So, and then since then, I've also been kind of dipping my toes in building up talent pipelines for small companies. And I'm based now in Washington, D.C., right outside the Washington, D.C. metro area, and doing just that today. And I have a bunch of other hobbies that I'm really passionate about, which one of them is podcasting, as you know. So you've been on my podcast. So it's always great to chat and share some knowledge.
Oh, I love it. So interesting. I love it when I speak to people who have such interesting journeys where it's like, I didn't just do this one thing. I did this one thing, then this other thing, which led to the other thing. Let's dive in a little bit into the transition piece, because a lot of my audience are either thinking about making a career change in the process of or just coming out of doing one and like trying to navigate their way through their careers now. So when you said, you know, you were in a place where you were kind of bored in the work that you were doing and then you started thinking about what next you could do, how did you approach that? So what was your, you know, what was the behind the scenes kind of process that you went through when you were like one day just sitting there thinking, I need a change? What did you then do next?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to tell you I had a strategy. Looking back, I probably didn't. There was a lot of lessons learned. And so when I talk to people now that are doing career change, and I noticed that a lot of people who want to change, they often don't know what they want. They don't know the steps to take. And I was the same way. What sort of worked for me is that, but it was the kind of innate in me. So even when I was like 15 and doing odd jobs from an early age, whenever I get bored or I feel like I'm not into it, I tend to change. And that usually involves some kind of experimentation. So that's what worked well for me. And it tends to work with for other people as well. Kind of having an idea, you don't need to have a solid like kind of way forward, but having an idea based on like, what do you like? What sort of things give you energy? And at that time, I really enjoyed learning. I just didn't want to do learning in higher education because it was just a little bit too slow moving. Change is a little bit more difficult in institutions and like large institutions, right? So because there's history and naturally that is just part of their process. So I think for me, it was more of like, okay, I kind of know what I want to do. I like what I'm doing. I don't like the typical 9 to 5. I don't want to sit behind a desk. I like the people interaction. And then I just kind of was experimenting with that along the way. So, and I think that's what also works a lot for other people. And this is kind of what I've noticed in my work with people. So,
yeah. I love that you said that, because a lot of the time it is about recognizing which aspects of your role are not working. And I think a lot of people skip that step. So they say, you know, I don't know what I want to do. I don't want to do this, but don't spend the time to say, okay, what is it about my role that I don't like, so that you can identify whether it is a complete move you have to make or whether it's a pivot or a slight shift. So I love that that's how you then ended up moving into like the corporate space, still focused on learning, but then changing the environment.
Yeah, and you're right. I think a lot of people kind of focus, they might have a bad experience in a particular company, and then all of a sudden they want to change everything. And that's because we're emotional beings, and, you know, and that's part of what makes us humans, and et cetera. And that's what part of makes us, you know, drives us, and et cetera. But I think it's important to kind of be mindful whether you're making decisions based on emotions, and just being mindful when those emotions need to come into play versus, you know, are you running away towards something? Are you running, are you running away from something, or are you running towards something, right? That's what people usually say. And it's a very valid kind of statement. And I think just asking yourself that and being super honest with yourself, but also not when you're in that emotional state of frustration, of burnout, because that's what usually people want to change. So being mindful, like, hey, maybe I like my job. Maybe I like what I'm doing. Maybe I don't like my manager. Maybe I don't like where I'm doing it at, right? And starting from that, I think it's just being self-aware and having that very deep honesty with yourself. And sometimes it's also being honest and say, wow, I've just spent 10 years of my life doing something I completely don't enjoy doing, and now I have to start over. But it's rarely ever starting over. That's the myth. It's not really starting over, but yeah. So I think that's important for sure.
Absolutely. It's never starting over, because you have all of that experience that you then get to use and leverage, and you've become a different person because you've gone through that experience. So yeah, I totally echo that. So you did that transition, and then how long was it that you were in corporate doing the learning and development stuff before you then moved to your own business?
Not long at all, actually. And I think another important, now that you asked me, I was like, not long at all. So what happened was, and I think this is important for people to take away. So when I always had some kind of side hustle. Like I was always doing things on the side. I was always experimenting. I had my safe kind of 9 to 5 job. I was doing that. But then I was always kind of creating opportunities for myself, whether it was random projects, paid or unpaid, volunteer opportunities, experimenting and doing things. I had no idea what I was doing. Like, looking back, I was like, wow, like I had no business doing like learning and development stuff back then, you know? And that's how you learn. Like, that's how you learn. So for the longest time, it was kind of like a side hustle. And that's how I made the transition. I was doing different certifications, mainly because to justify to myself that I can do it. But frankly speaking, I think certifications are not useful in many cases. It really depends. So, but that's usually the route we tend to go to. It's like, maybe I need to get more education just to feel more credible for ourselves, but we don't necessarily, right? So I was doing that for a couple of years. And then in 2019, when I started, like towards the end of 2019, I started to get a lot of clients on my own, to a point where I had to take time off from my full-time job, like using, you know, my vacation time to do sessions. And then I was like, well, maybe it's time to actually do this full-time, right? So it was to a point where I had to make a choice. And at that point in my work also, I was overwhelmed, and I was kind of already like, I was like, okay, it's been 4 years I was with that institution at that time, and I was like, I think it's time for change. Not just jump ship. Was I ready? I don't know if you're ever really ready. I think that you're gonna suck starting off no matter what you're doing, and I think that's important to understand. You know, could I have prepared a little bit better? Maybe. But I kind of just jumped ship and dove in, and luckily it worked out quite well. Unfortunately COVID hit a few months after that. And I think that, and originally I was going to wait until early 2020 to really jump ship. And I was going to quit right around when COVID hit. And I'm glad I actually quit before when I was planned, before and then when I planned, because if I quit during COVID, and you know, coaching and training and learning and development is one of the first things that will get impacted in a company when there's a downsize, right? And in many cases, not always, but in many cases. So, and then we got really hit with the company. But if I wouldn't have had those few months before COVID hit to prove to myself that I can do this, and I was doing it, and I was generating revenue, and I had clients, and I was busy, like, for the first few months. So that was a nice kind of, looking back, I'll always say, if I would have waited to like what I originally wanted, I wouldn't have had the confidence to continue. So yeah, when COVID hit, because that we took a big hit, but I mean, we were fine after a while. So it was okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the way you just said create opportunities, can we talk more about that? Because I, even this month, I'm like talking about being proactive when it comes to your career development, and creating opportunities is something that can be so simple with consistent effort. It's not necessarily easy, but it's simple. But so many people don't think to do that because we're kind of like conditioned that we get a job, you get your head down, you do your job and you deliver. But let's talk a little bit about creating opportunities and how and why people should be doing that.
Sure. So I think it's, I talk about this with people all the time, you know, you and I are in a similar world of kind of career development. And that's the one thing I always see that works is experimenting and trying different things and being open to just trying different things and being open to volunteering and doing things unpaid. So now listen, I'm mindful that there are people in positions that you cannot afford to do things that are unpaid, right? So you have responsibilities, and sometimes that you're already working two jobs to provide for the family, right? And you're already, and you genuinely maybe don't have time, maybe have family, but majority of the people, many, many people are not in that situation. So many people that are looking for a career change, many people in the kind of traditional, maybe corporate jobs, usually they have the time. It's about making the time. So number one kind of, I guess, tip here is to make time for things that matter to you, right? So I think creating that space to experiment and create those opportunities is step number one, because that's a big obstacle, I feel, is for people. And then step number two is really identifying areas that you're interested to kind of experiment with, and then finding platforms that can help you with that, finding networks, being open to those opportunities. I always feel like it just comes down to this notion of, you know, if you think of something, you might actually recognize an opportunity. If you have an idea of what you want to do, you might recognize an opportunity that might be sitting right next to you, but you don't recognize it if you don't have that mindset to mm-hmm. where you're open, you kind of have an idea of what you're looking for, and you're willing to do whatever it takes. So I think mindset is a big part of it. And then finally, really just surrounding yourself with networks, again, platforms. I don't know about in Europe, but in the US, there's a great platform. It's called Catch a Fire. Of course, Lunch Club as well. There's a number of different platforms that are really good for networking and sourcing those opportunities. So Catch a Fire is a platform where you can actually pitch yourself for volunteer projects. And I can drop it so you can share it in this episode notes. But you can actually pitch yourself to different projects. I mean, and they vary from one day to a few hours to a week to a month long projects. And this is how you build up your experience in a particular area, especially where you don't have experience. So, of course, it's unpaid opportunities, but nonetheless, it's a good one. So Catch a Fire, for example, is a good one where you can actually pitch yourself to projects and volunteer opportunities. And it really varies projects size and time from a week to months to a few hours. And that's a really great platform to start building up your skill set and getting some experience under your belt. Because frankly speaking, when you're looking at opportunities, people don't really necessarily care if it was paid or unpaid. Mm-hmm. They just care that you can do the job. And I think that is important. And that is what a lot of people don't recognize. So Catch a Fire is a great one. Lunch Club is a great one because it allows you to connect with different people around the world, which can generate opportunities. And I think it's also vital to remember that at the end of the day, it's not a magic form. There's no magic formula. And it's not like you're going to have one conversation or 10 conversations and you're going to generate that opportunity and create that opportunity. It comes with experience. And this is where I cannot stress the experience part, the putting yourself out there, the trying to talk to people and trying to find where can you add value to that person. And there's really no way to do it but to do it and maybe make yourself look like a fool sometimes because you don't know what you're talking about. But eventually you start to know how to tailor your conversations. You start to recognize like, oh, I can actually help this person X, Y, and Z. You become better at asking the right questions that can help you identify what is this person really struggling with and how can I add value to them in their pain point, whatever it is, whether it's individual or company. So I think that's what works. And you know, and I wish there was like a magic stick that we could use, but the reality is it's just trying different things. Yeah. And that's how you learn. Like it's very difficult to do it otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like you said, just exercising the muscle and just doing it, and you get better as you go. And I think even us having this conversation and us doing this interview is a great example of being proactive. So Elena reached out to me on LinkedIn because saw that we do similar work and we're in a similar space, and invited me to be on her podcast. And because I've been on her podcast, I was like, hey, you can come on my podcast. So literally it's a you're building connections with people, and you never know what that might turn into in terms of a project or a collaboration. So even just looking around at who is in the space that you're either in or that you want to move into and that you can connect to, and then you never know like where that can go.
Hey, 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 I am super excited because I have a handful of spots open for one-to-one coaching. I am looking to work with more of you who are highly ambitious, very driven, know where you want to get to, but are struggling to get there because you feel as though you're being overlooked and undervalued for the contribution that you're making. You know that you need to get more visible, you know that you need to show up more, you understand that creating a personal brand that is speaking for you when you're not in the room is important so that you can move towards your career goals, but you don't quite know how to make it happen. And for you, I am extending the invitation to come and join me inside of Elevate. This is my one-to-one high-touch coaching program that is designed to help you to advance into your next role, secure your next client, position yourself for the opportunities that you want by being intentional with your personal brand, making sure that your digital footprint is tight. Yes, I mean, LinkedIn is looking good and attracting the right opportunities, and making sure that you're able to show up with confidence and fully articulate the value that you're able to bring to your next opportunity. I am excited to dig deep, come up with your personalized strategy and your plan, and support you with the accountability and coaching that is required to help you to get there. So if this sounds good to you, if you know that you need some support with really taking your career to the next level, book a call with me and let's explore you joining the Elevate program. So head over to careerchangemakers.com/call so that you can book a fitting call, and then let's have a conversation about whether or not this program is a good fit for you. I look forward to speaking to you.
Yeah, and that's such a good point, because another thing that's important is being genuine and being truly just authentic and genuine in your approach. Perfect example, on my podcast, I invite people all the time, right? And so I was talking to, so just to give you context, so part of my work is also I outsource certain things with the company that I'm working with right now. I outsource certain like trainings and coaches for them, right? And I was talking to a couple of people on my podcast that do exactly the kind of thing that I need right now. And I ended up, and I had no idea going into it that they were going to actually be great for this other thing that I'm looking for somebody for. Mm-hmm. And they were so great that I was like, oh, I was like, actually, this person would be great. This is exactly what I need right now to solve a problem that I have for this company. So, and I offered the opportunity to them, and now we're working together. And that happened with two people in recent months. And that's because they were just genuine. And I knew they weren't trying to sell themselves to me. We were just having a chat on my podcast about what they're doing and et cetera. And to me, I've recognized, I was like, they should be really great for that. And I think that is underrated. I think the you just being passionate about what you do, doing your thing, you know, putting yourself out there, creating great content, right? Yeah. But doing it not with expectations going to generate something, just putting content out there. And the thing is with content, it eventually actually by default will generate something. And yeah. Actually, when we started Best Earn in 2019, and we do a lot of marketing and kind of lead generation and all of that. And I cannot tell you how much content is what drives our leads just by, but just by default, it just drives it because people see us in action. They see us that we're kind of, we really care about what we do. They see us in action and we're consistent, and that builds credibility and trust. And that is the most important thing, is to have a network that sees you as credible, that trusts you, that likes you, and that sees that you're consistent. And I think that is very important.
That is so, so important. And I think so many people are not thinking in that way in terms of like creating content just around what you're good at, what you're passionate about. And there's so much more opportunity now than there were even 5 years ago in terms of how easy it is and the tools that we have and the platforms that we have. So it's kind of like, guys, you've got to use the tools that are available to you so that you could advance in your career. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about current trends in the marketplace. I want to talk about quiet quitting, because when you're on LinkedIn, literally over the last 2 weeks, everyone's got an opinion on it. And I'd love to hear you share like your thoughts on, and it's not a new thing, right? It's just this phrase has come up, but the whole concept isn't a new thing, but just generally, like, what are your thoughts about quiet quitting?
I literally was just talking. Somebody asked me, I was on a different podcast yesterday, and somebody asked me the same question. I was like, listen, I feel it's just a trend. You and I know, because we're in this field, like, you and I know that this has been going on, the disengagement, the bare minimum has been going on for years. It's been the Gallup reports is what I always refer to. If you look at any Gallup report, the disengagement of employees has always been 75% plus across different nations and multinational corporations, no matter where you are. So this has been going on. But quiet quitting, the media really has to stop with all this. Like, it is not doing us any service, you know, when we talk about these things. And I mean, I'm kind of glad they're bringing that up, because I think not a lot of people paid attention to Gallup reports, like maybe you and I do. But at the end of the day, this disengagement has been going on forever. But the thing that kind of bothers me on this is that I feel that a lot of the things that are out there about quiet quitting, it's about employers not doing enough for their employees. Mm-hmm. And employers are the bad guys. But I think we have to recognize there's two responsible parties. One, you have the individual. You need to take accountability for your own career progression, for having that purpose, creating that purpose, whether it's within your company or finding something else. It's you communicating to your managers, to your companies. I'm checked out. I need something else. This is what I'm thinking. You being proactive and bringing solutions to your managers, to your employer, to help you get out of this, you know, this quiet quitting mode, so to say, right? Yeah. And on the flip side, yeah, companies, there's things that they can do better. But I feel ultimately, as an individual, you have a lot more power in your own career development and really taking ownership of that versus just waiting for the world of work to change or for the companies to change. You know what I mean? So I think that it's a twofold. I think it's a trend. Trendy word, and it's just another thing. We went from great resignation to now quiet quitting, and now whatever else might come next. So we did burnout already, so we're done with the burnout, so now we forgot about that, the well-being, the mental health. Now we're quiet quitting, so it's just like, it's like something else to talk about when it comes to the job market, I feel.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I actually did a live stream the other day on LinkedIn about like how quiet quitting can impact your career and like how you need to be thinking about it. If you're in a position where you feel like all that you can do is completely disengaged, then you're not in the right seat. Like, you need to go and find another role, whether it is within the organization or elsewhere, versus just being like, I'm just going to stay here and coast in this role. And I think the proactiveness that you just mentioned is so required in individuals. So yeah.
And I think it's just people really just have to be honest with themselves. And again, I am empathetic to those situations. I've spent 8 years of my life in the Middle East, and there are certain situations that you just don't have a choice. You really genuinely don't have much choice when it comes to having that career you feel purposeful. But sometimes it is, for many people, just getting that paycheck and providing for their family. But again, majority of the people are not in that situation, particularly majority of people probably listening to this podcast, majority of people working in those traditional kind of corporate settings, multinationals, et cetera, from specific kind of educational and experience backgrounds, they're not in that situation. So we have to be realistic with ourselves. Like, are you actually doing what you need to be doing to make that change? Or are you paralyzed because you have a fear of change? Or is it because you don't know what the next steps are? But then, you know, find a way to figure that out, whether it's, I don't know, listen to podcasts or getting a coach if you can afford one, whatever it may be, right? So I think just keeping it real with yourself, because as you said, it's your career at the end of the day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't get that. I don't get that blaming the external for me not wanting to be productive in my work. Then change your job. You know what I mean? Change your job.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you, like, because you work on both sides, so you are with Best Earn, you're working and you're supporting organization, but then you're also working within organizations to help them build up their talent pipeline. How, like, right now, as there's a lot of movement in the marketplace, how should or could people be best positioning themselves for opportunities based on, like, what you're seeing companies wanting and needing right now?
Sure. So I think it depends on the industry, and I can speak from the tech industry. So I work with a lot of really techie, analytical kind of software developers, people. So I can speak from that perspective. But I think industry matters. So just being mindful of what I'm about to say. But in the tech industry, I think although it's a very hot and trendy industry, I think what companies and companies look for in individuals right now, and I see this day to day, is that even I do talent acquisition for a company as well. And what I see is that the conversation has shifted over the last couple of years from I need somebody who's technically strong to I need somebody who can problem solve and I need somebody who has potential. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if they hit the ground running. I just need them to have potential and I can train them on the skills. So the shift on soft skills, the shift on people management, communications, problem solving, creativity, go-getter mentality, self-starter is becoming more and more of a request of senior managers, CEOs. And we see this in reports as well. I mean, I'm a huge fan of reports because they give a nice trend and you kind of see what's happening in the market. And if you look at whatever report you want to look at on the future of work or future of skills required, if you look at what CEOs look for in 2016 and the top 10 skills, a lot of them, the first like 7 or 8 skills were like computer skills and really those information technology skills. And then at the end, you might have like 1 or 2 critical thinking and problem solving. If you look at a similar reports 2022 and what CEOs look for, it is soft skills, emotional intelligence, creativity. Can you problem solve? Resilience. Are you going to lose your crap if you're under stress? Or can you manage yourself? Can you manage stress? Can you manage your well-being without getting burned out? That's very important because it's becoming more and more demanding, the world of work in general, and particularly the tech field. Burnout is very high in the tech field. And this is very standard, but it comes down to how are you managing your energy and time. So I think focusing on having that balance of both, and the more senior folks, it really becomes more of people management. So having a stronger people management background, somebody who can really truly inspire and motivate change in a team and drive that, I think has become important for those entering the job market. I think tech skills are still very important, but also communication, ability to kind of sell yourself is equally as important.
Yeah. And I mean, given that we've had the pandemic and we've gone from having a somewhat stable work environment to like everything's moving, changing all the time, it makes sense that you need people who can really lean into those soft skills and be resilient and adaptable and flexible. But yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think that's really important for people to think about. So what are you most excited about next in terms of what you're working on and your career?
I think I'm what I've learned is that I really enjoy building up young talent pipelines. Mm. When we started Best Earn, we focused more on that mid-level to senior level professional. So that's kind of our audience on the Best Earn side. But some of the work that I do with other companies, I realize that that's where I relate to the most. And I think part of that is because I started my career in higher education. And I did not leave higher education because I didn't want to work with young people. I left higher education because it was too slow to change. And I got bored because I would wait for results and I would wait for things to take to take some kind of action and change. And it was just too bureaucratic for me. But I always enjoyed that piece working with the youth, because that's our future talent pipeline. Those are the mid-level and senior level managers. And now when I work with mid-level and senior level managers, and I'm like, I really should have been having this conversation. Somebody should have been having this conversation with you when you were here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I feel that's where I want to make the most impact. That's where I can make the most impact. I don't work with executives necessarily. It's more of that mid-level to senior level. It's kind of, you know, was my niche over the last few years. But I see myself shifting more towards the young talent development. And so that's what I'm most excited about. I've been doing that for some time. And every time I run these programs and I meet with these, you know, young people, I say, this is where it's at for me. So I'm excited about that.
Do you know why that's so cool? It's almost like full circle moment, like where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, you started there, you did shift, but then you've gone back to like pick up the part of it that you did like that you weren't able to like take with you initially. And I think it's so interesting that sometimes when we look back on our careers, and whilst it might look like you're making lots of moves, when you connect the dots, you realize that things like build upon each other, and you ultimately end up doing or working in a way that is fully aligned to you. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and this is what I was saying, like, it's just experimenting and sticking to what you enjoy.
Yeah.
Eventually you're going to be good at it. Like I was talking again to somebody yesterday, and this person, you know, and he's really passionate about talent acquisition, and he puts in a ridiculous amount of work hours. But he's like, I don't even feel it sometimes. He said, it's just time, because he enjoys it. And I think it's so important. And I'm realistic in terms of like, not everybody's going to find that, you know, somebody they're going to enjoy all the time, every day, all day. But you can get to that 70%.
Yes.
And it might take you a month, it might take you 6 months, it might take you 5 years or 10 years. But if you maintain that curiosity, and if you continue to kind of work towards that and have that vision of what that ideal kind of day-to-day might look like for you, I truly believe, and I've seen this over and over again, and I'm sure you have as well, that you get there. It's just staying consistent and patient and continuing to go. And sometimes that means taking a job that's a stepping stone. Sometimes it's changing and realizing that was a mistake and changing back, but not being stuck because you feel like, oh, well, you know what? I've been here and I might as well put so much effort to be here. Let me just stay here. Because I think that there's a lot of ways to make money, grow in your career, and truly enjoy what you do.
Ah, love it. Gems upon gems. Thank you so much for sharing that. So just to wrap up then, do you have a quote, saying, motivational phrase that you like to either live by or share? I always ask my guests this question.
Ah, that's a good one. I'm sure I do, but now that I'm on the spot and I completely forgot it. I'm sure there's many, but I talked to with somebody about this in the past, and they brought something that was really good, and it was courage, curiosity, and consistency. So like three C's, and I like that. I can't take credit for it, but I liked what I forgot even who said this, honestly. But that stuck to me for the last couple of years, is courage, curiosity, and consistency. I think that if you're able to be curious, be courageous enough to trust yourself and whatever change you're looking for, and stay consistent in your efforts, I think that's a formula. If there was a magic formula to success, to achieving goals, I think that's it.
Yeah, so good. Oh, so Elena, if people want to learn more about what you do at Besson and your other projects that you're doing, listen to your podcast, like, where should they go?
Sure. So I mainly hang out on LinkedIn. That's where, you know, I produce a lot of content there. So I think some of it might be interesting. So Elena Agar-Agimova, or you can just type in Elena Agar, A-G-A-R, and I'll probably come up. I think I'm the only Elena Agar-Agimova on LinkedIn, so I'm pretty easy to find, and yeah, feel free to reach out, and would love to connect.
Awesome. But thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for dropping so many gems.
Wasn't that such an awesome conversation? Elena is such an inspiration. I love how pragmatic she is and how she took action that led her to the right opportunities in the right season of her career. I hope you took note to what was said about networking and the power and importance of it. If she didn't reach out to me on LinkedIn, we never would have connected, we wouldn't have been having this conversation, and you wouldn't have learned all that you learned from her. So pay attention to that. Make sure that you are strategic and intentional about your networking efforts. If you want to learn more about Elena and the work that she's doing, then check out the show notes for links to her LinkedIn profile and her website. All right, that's all from me today. I'll be back very, very soon. Until next time, look after you and keep moving towards your career goals. If you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to subscribe to the show so that you don't miss any future episodes. Also, I would love to know what your biggest takeaway has been from today's episode. Come over and join us in our Career Changemakers community over on LinkedIn so that you can join the conversation there.